But you should understand it. And you do need to mature, because that's what Krishna consciousness is about. Parajyo bhagavan vajeshatane astad dhama brindavana maramyakta chitta pasana. This is what Lord Chaitanya came. Lord Chaitanya came to distribute love of Godhead in the wake of the gopis, and he gave these teachings, which are elaborated on in Chaitanya Charitamrita, with the expectation that devotees would qualify themselves for it. Just like nowadays, computer science is the religion of the world, and everyone qualifies themselves for it. Why? Because it's the Dharma. It's the Yuga Dharma. Unless you can use a computer, you're a moron. So everyone's supposed to qualify themselves for that. Everyone has to know that. Everyone has to do that. And they do. Because it's Dharma. So similarly, this is also Dharma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for a particular purpose. That's the computer Dharma, is our duty for functioning in this world, and this is the Parodharma, this is the transcendental Dharma, which is meant for going back to Godhead. And one has to become qualified. I'm just going to read Bhagavad Gita, it's fine. But then you have to read Bhagavad Gita, and you have to see all the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam in Bhagavad Gita, because they're also all there, and study it like that. That's fine. But if you start, well, that's not for me, but it is for you. What's Prabhupada doing writing this book if it isn't for me? Wasting his time. It's Prabhupada's life. What's he getting us to distribute them for if it's not for me? Who is it for then? If we're distributing it to the ordinary man on the street, which is a very interesting issue, and for which Srila Prabhupada was freely being criticized, is how can you give these people something when they don't actually have the adhikar? In other words, we're going out, and I don't know, what cantos are you distributing on the street? That's all? First.
You
started sixth. Yeah. Well, the ones that Prabhupada told us are first, second, and sixth.
Yeah.
1, 1, 2, 1, 6, 1. Because all of these really give adhikar, particularly 6-1 about chanting. But I distributed every volume of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Prabhupada encouraged devotees to do that. So, and that's where Srila Prabhupada's purports come in. And that's what some people criticize Prabhupada's purports as being too simplistic. But they're not simplistic. They're extremely deep. Prabhupada's purports are designed in such a way that it doesn't matter what book someone gets, they're going to receive the basic qualification from Ishopanishad through to Srimad Bhagavatam to be able to understand whatever they've got their hands on. It may be Chaitanya Charitamrita, Arilila chapter 7. It may be Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies. They may be reading Krishna book. But Prabhupada's explanation is such as to raise the people's adhikar. And that's why sometimes people don't understand, why is Prabhupada always talking about you're not this body everywhere? Why does he talk about Krishna's not, God is a person and he's not impersonal? Because everywhere Prabhupada is establishing the faith and the qualification for people to understand what it is that they've got in their hand. And that's empowerment. That's Srila Prabhupada's extraordinary empowerment. And that's why even we know that other Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Because they know that people don't become devotees from these other books because they can't understand, they just can't penetrate, or they can't jump. They require a certain type of education. And Srila Prabhupada is really extraordinarily empowered to give that type of education. So this was the whole idea. I spoke a little about hearing, and then I'll just talk a couple minutes about chanting. Chanting is the same thing. Chanting here, Shravanam Kirtanam. Shravan Kirtan Kaviya Sechan. These are the things that nurture the Bhakti Lata Beach. So chanting, how should we chant Hare Krishna? It should be a progressive thing. Devotees should be able to see. Where was that? Last night at this program, I just quoted Gunarnava Prabhu. That was usually his sort of mantra. He used to always say, I judge a person by their japa. He used to say, I judge a man by his japa. And that's a fact. And the japa isn't a mechanical, staid thing, but it's also something that goes through phases of the development. If Chaitadarpana Marjanam, if the cleansing of the heart is actually taking place, then yes, there's a systematic development by which one becomes perfect in hearing, and by becoming perfect in hearing, then naturally thinking about Krishna's qualities manifest, Krishna's form becomes manifest, and like that, until one becomes qualified to think about Krishna's pastimes. And Srila Prabhupada, I wonder if I can find that thing. I'm not so conversant here with the index. And Srila Prabhupada talks about that. This is a very wonderful letter in which one devotee is asking, well, Prabhupada, are we meant to think about Krishna's pastimes when we're chanting Hare Krishna? And anyway, the summary of Prabhupada's answer is, yes, you should know that's our goal. But it's not artificial. In other words, you need to go through the process. You need to become qualified. If you can't stay awake, you're not qualified to be a devotee, what to speak of chant Hare Krishna. So, if you can't hear the holy name, if you can't sit down and just hear the holy name for 2 hours, then don't worry about Krishna's pastimes. One needs to be able to have attachment for the holy name. That becomes the first qualification. So one sits down, and you can sit with fixed mind, and without thinking about anything, you just fix on the nectar of the holy name because it's so sweet. And when one has Dhyanishtha, when one is fixed in hearing, then naturally from that hearing will come the next step. In other words, when you're fixed on step 4, going to step 5 is natural. When you're going to school, when children understand the 4th grade, then the psychology, the momentum of their learning, it's just like natural. They just naturally grasp the next things because that's the momentum of their education and their understanding takes place. So the same thing, from hearing then comes meditation on Krishna's qualities and form and abode and pastimes like that. So it's a natural progression. And it's natural, just like it's natural for one step to another. You make a step and you only take the other step, Prabhupada says, when your foot is very stable and secure, and then you move forward to the next one, and then you move forward to the next one. We do it automatically. But what we're doing is this principle of Sri Sri Abhikraya Nishta. You can only get from here, I'm going to walk, get up and go to that door, but only because there's a natural system by which I put one foot before the other. And as soon as I have the Nishta, as soon as my one foot is very solid, then I have the Adhikar for lifting the other foot off the ground and going forward. That means I leave what's behind me and I go one step forward towards the destination. We're spontaneous, we're doing it all the time, just in going from one place to another. And that's what Krishna consciousness is all about also. It's not haphazard, it doesn't happen It requires a certain effort, and it requires a certain systematic understanding. And in a very simple way, Prabhupada has given us that systematic understanding in his books. So both for chanting and hearing, one has to cultivate his adhikar, his qualification. That qualification should increase. And then, like that, we should go forward into the realms of pure devotional service, and then one's always safe. But it requires a certain level of maturity and responsibility. Anyway, that was more or less the some substance of what the book is about, describing the different levels of devotional service, stages of devotional service, what the qualifications are there, and how one then progresses to the next, and the next, and the next, and the next, and ultimately we go back home, back to Godhead. So when we say, Adoshada, Tata, Sadhu, Sangha, Vajana, Kriyana, Tanivrisi, and so on like that, then these are all stages. When you're doing well on one, then naturally you'll progress forward on the other. And the momentum of chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with Vaishnavas, naturally propels someone forward. And these things are required to be done according to the proper process. You need to know how to walk. You need to know how to keep your balance when you're walking upstairs. There are just certain basic fundamental requirements that you have to have in order to go to a particular destination. It's a I never read so many books as when I read for dozens, that probably I'm not exaggerating, but I said I read 100 books, or at least studied 100 books for some of these parts. Some of them are very detailed, explained in detail by Srila Prabhupada, otherwise others are only sort of touched on. And then anything that's not discussed in detail by Prabhupada, then you need to really sort of try to get as much reference as possible through other lectures or other types of things that Srila Prabhupada did in order to get clear understanding or understanding in Prabhupada's mind. Anyway, devotees have any question? And the ultimate goal is to come to the spiritual platform of devotional service. We practice devotional service on the condition stage, and that advancement or practice in different condition state, ultimately practicing in the mode of goodness, and we want to come to the platform of pure goodness, purified goodness. Shuddha, Sattva, Vishesha. We want to come to the platform of practicing devotional service free from any taint of the modes of material nature. And I'll actually stop. Let's see if anyone has any particular questions. So chant a little and then. Yes.
Arjun, the novice stage, is it possible to perform a pure chanting or a pure service? Or do you have to wait to go in to become an Uttamadhikari to do that? I mean, you don't want to jump, of course, but
the definition here is that we begin by is that a Kanishtha Adhikari often, or general rule, how Srila Prabhupada defines, can be a person who has actually pure faith. Nāme kam saranam bhaja aham tam sarva pāpebhyo. I have this faith that Krishna will protect me under all circumstances, and if I follow Krishna's instructions, I can't help but succeed. That faith may be weak. It may not be bolstered with a deep philosophical understanding. But if one has that general conviction, when that faith becomes very firm, and there is good devotional understanding about how and why Krishna does give that type of support, and devotees are actually situated thus, they're actually practicing that, then that person's a mighty, mighty kind. And then when that sheikh has really realized that faith and it's unshakable. Sometimes it's also stated that on different basis, that if someone's a Kanishtha, then his faith is mixed and it's not pure. It's a matter of where the definition is begins. But basically, one can be considered a pure devotee if one has that pure faith. If I just depend on Krishna, everything else is really taken care of.
On the other hand, can you have someone who is an exalted Vaishnava? I'm not talking about a Nitya Siddha, someone from the spiritual world, but someone who has achieved perfection, Kripa Siddhi or whatever. Is it possible for that person to occasionally behave as a Kanishtha?
To do what?
To behave, you know, as a Kanishtha, to behave, you know, that the faith, you know, would be shackled.
No, Uttamadhikari means that that person should be above the influence of the modes of material nature. He doesn't come under the influence of the modes of nature. Certainly not to the extent that he behaves like a Kanishtadhikari.
Because sometimes they are categorized as mixed. You know, you get a Kanishtha Madhyama, then you have a Madhyama, a little bit of Kanishtha, a little bit of Uttama.
No.
Or it's like dogmatically separated, let's just say.
Uttamadhikari means that sarva bhuteshu yapasya bhagavat bhava matmanaha. That's not a conditioned soul. Service that we should be doing is that which spiritual master and Vaishnavas offer us, and generally they should also be engaging us in things that we're qualified for or we're capable of doing. There may be a range of things that we're capable of doing, but that you can't do everything. So you may like to do one out of 20 things that you're qualified to do, and yet you're told, well, you should be doing this one. I'd like to do deity worship. But someone says, no, you should go cook. And that doesn't mean that one's not qualified. It just means that once given a specific service, and then we always take that this is Krishna's will. So that's not necessarily an issue of qualification, but it's an issue of what is it that Krishna wants us to do, despite the fact that there may be many things that we could be doing. So even in the perfectional stage, Narottam Das Thakur says that Rukminjari sends me to fetch water from the Jamuna, then I'll stop fanning Radha and Krishna and I'll leave them and go. So it's not a question of qualification, it's a question of do what you're told. And because that's the utmost method for becoming qualified. And then he makes the statement, and I won't feel the least dissatisfied knowing that this is the best way to serve Radha and Krishna. So we may have our own preferences, but then the way for becoming favored by Krishna is always by accepting services and instructions that's given to us by higher authorities.
With regard to the broker, somebody asked once, you know, there was a class here, and he asked, do we, you know, we considering our position like you were talking about, is there a stage where the realization, or the person in realization doesn't consider the stage where he's at, he's just absorbed in his...
Well, there's two things. There's being absorbed in the mood of devotional service, and then there's the analytical function of the mind that works when one uses philosophy. So sometimes one excludes the other, but just like we have many examples of Gaur Kishordas Babaji, who is always deeply absorbed in different aspects of chanting Hare Krishna, his service, or just being an avadhuta. But he could also use that discriminative function of being in touch with Krishna's internal potency to immediately analyze where people were at, what their disqualification was, what their hypocrisy was, and also to understand what his position is as well, although individuals may not necessarily speak of that to others. So they're just different moods or different aspects of devotional service, and it isn't that, you know, we're like one of these, what are they called? The ones, the map, GSP? GSM?
GPS.
GPS. So it's not that we're some kind of GPS thing and we got a map and every second we're just, okay, I got 2 inches closer to Goloka. But when it's necessary, then devotees, it's like, you know, it's like you're driving and every once in a while you need to check. Nowadays, you know, they have this thing, and every, as soon as you move, you can even see the lorry coming next to you on the screen. So we don't have to be like that. Our business is being Krishna conscious, is being conscious of Krishna. We don't want to get too fanatically absorbed in where am I now and where did I come from and where am I going. But we should be able to know that.
If one is at a certain stage, then for...
Say that again.
If one is at a certain stage in devotional practice, if something happens to that person, you know, for whatever reason, he's stuck at that stage, if he can't go forward, is it likely that he can go backward?
Well, I mean, something's got to give. Why can't someone go forward?
Something happens to them in devotion life, other something happens.
No, things don't happen to people. People do things. People choose to do things. We choose to go forward or not to go forward, or we choose to make those things that obstruct our going forward. But it isn't that we're some kind of innocent victims of fate. So we're determining our fate, and even if, you know, we have our karma and things happen to us, but we have tools to deal with that also, and tools to overcome those obstacles, or cope with them at least, so that they're not an obstacle to our Krishna consciousness, but rather those obstacles become an instrument for going forward. So by accident people don't go forward. Either they really do the wrong thing, which is that they execute devotional service wrongly, and they get into such habits that they're not going anywhere, in which case it's likely that not going anywhere means you're going backwards. So if you want to go somewhere and you're stuck halfway, that's just as good as going backwards, because in either case you're not going to where you want to go. Or one has committed offenses to the holy name, and that becomes an obstacle. But all of these obstacles, if one wants to go, then one will keep on going. So, you know, if you really want to get to where you're going and your car breaks down, you just leave it by the road and you hitchhike. And if no one picks you up, you walk. It's just a matter of whether you want to get there or not. So if you think, my mother's dying over there, and you'll get there, whatever, whatever it takes.
You advise that one knows the state where he is by steadiness.
Yes.
If one wants to progress to the next stage, but he won't know whether he'll be steady on the next stage.
No, no.
How would
you don't worry about the future, you worry about the present. If you're steady here, then that will give you the qualification to get to the next one, because how do you know that you'll be successful in grade 5? You just do well in grade 4, and that's what it prepares you. The information in 4 is the beginning, is the building blocks for what you will use in grade 5. And if you've been steady and you know you have the information and you've done well there, then taking that and doing the same thing you did there. Because how are you steady in this stage? Because you're following a process nicely. So if you take that information as your foundation and you continue to do the process nicely, then there's no reason why you shouldn't be. It's like school. Examinations aren't there to fail you. It's just there to help you go forward, to test what you know. Similarly, Krishna, even Mayadevi, is not out to fail you. But you have to know, are you really serious? Do you know your stuff? And particularly, do we really want Krishna? And if so, then usually good students remain good students, isn't it? Isn't it? He was really good in elementary school, but in high school he just became an idiot. That generally doesn't go work like that. If someone was studious and good then he's just, the same symptoms carry through. And if he wasn't, then usually they're called dropouts, because they don't get very far. Alright, I guess maybe IT, and we'll start with that. Anyway, thank you very much, and see you all in the upcoming days. And If you don't see me in the morning, my apologies. My condition for coming was that I wouldn't come to morning programs, so I can get up and just write